We're holding the third line from the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. The last thing we learned yesterday, the Gemara had talked about how far away from a walled city can you be reading the Megillah on the 15th? And we'll talk about it more at the end of today's daf, the details of that. So we said that anything that's near the city, anything that's seen together with the city, near Imay, how far away, Reb Chiya Bar Abba said, up to the distance from Chamsin to Tveria, which is a mill.
Yeah.
So because of that, the Gemara now is going to go on with several other things that Rabbi Yirmiyah said, that either Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said.
Is that like Bar Kamsa? And it's not a different, obviously.
Huh?
It's not like the same thing as Kamsa and Bar Kamsa?
No. Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba.
Oh, I thought you said something about Kamsa.
No. A deeper idea of it I mentioned yesterday, Reb Levick writes in the Kutta Levi Yitzchak, that a deeper idea behind it is that the Gemara is going to start talking about Mansapach, the five final osius, which those have to do with the Hay Gvuras, which are with the five aspects of Gvura, and the five days that you can read in the Megillah that it talks about in the Mishnah are meant to counteract that. So, v'omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, v'itamer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yirmiyah, or some say Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, Mansapach Tzofim Omrum. The letters Mansapach, we know each of them has a regular form and a final form. The Tzofim, Rashi says the Nevi'im throughout the generations said those. The Gemara is assuming right now that means that they established that you have the concept that for each of these letters you have two different forms. Rabbi Chananel actually says a little differently that Tzofim means the Chachamim of later generations. Why we list them in the order Mansapach? One reason is actually because since we're saying Tzofim Amrum, the word Mansa, the putting them in the order Mansapach suggests the word Min Sefayich from your seers, from your Nevi'im. Anyway, Marissa, what do you mean? What do you mean the Nevi'im came up with that before there was no such thing and then they established that? V'tispera, how could you think such a thing? V'haktib, but the Pasuk says, Eilah ha-mitzvahs, these are the mitzvahs, just what it says in the Torah, meaning, she'ein novi rashoi l'chadish davam ata. A novi is not allowed to come up with any new thing from now on, after Moshe Rabbeinu. So, and this is a difference in halacha, because, for example, if you're saying that before that there was no difference, you could write, let's say, for example, a shloss mem or a regular mem wherever you wanted, and afterwards the rule is a regular mem has to be in the middle of a word, a shloss mem has to be at the end of a word, and if you flip them around, then it's puzzle. Then that's a change in halacha. And not only that, Rav Chista mem v'samach shvoluchas b'nes ha'yomdim. Rav Chista said, we had this back in Shabbos, that the mem, the shloss mem, that is, and the samach, anywhere where they were written on the luchas, the middles of them stood there b'derech nes, because the letters went through from end to end, actually very appropriate to tomorrow being Shabbos of Tammuz, because that's where the Torah describes the luchas over there, b'haluchas ma'aseh l'kimehim v'amif t'amich, right in connection with right before Moshe broke them by the eagle. So a bit of a nyan and yayma.
Oh, same thing happened.
Yeah. Anyway, so Rav Chista is saying that the mem and the samach, the middles of them stood with derech nes because the letters went through from end to end. So how does the core of the shloss mem or the core of the samach stay there and not fall out? It had to be with derech nes. Obviously, that means a shloss mem because a regular mem you wouldn't need a nes for that. So at least the shloss mem existed at that point. How are we saying? I mean, the Gemara is not making it clear. Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba didn't really make it clear whether when he says Mansapach Tzofim Omrim. I mean, you could understand it either way. You could say that originally all there were the regular forms, and the Tzofim established the final forms. You could say the other way around. Maybe you could say that originally you would write a Shloss Mem everywhere, whether in the middle of a word or at the end of a word, and afterwards the Tzofim came and said no, there should be a different form for the middle of the word. The Gemara could have answered that. Yeah, the Gemara could have answered the second question by saying that. But the Gemara is still have to find an answer for the first question anyway. So the Gemara says, Ain, that's true. Mahavahavu, there were originally both a regular mem and a final mem, and the same thing with all the other four letters. But v'loy havu yadi, hei be'emtza teva, v'hei be'seif teva. Just the people did not know which one goes in the middle of a word and which one goes at the end of a word. V'asut tzofim, so then the tzofim, the Nevi'im, came along, v'takinu, and they made the takana, the way we have it. P'suchin be'emtza teva, or stumin be'seif teva. The open ones are in the middle, or in the middle of a word, the final, the closed ones, or the long ones, or whatever, at the end of a word. Where it says safe, still, how does that help us? You still have the same problem. Eilah ha-mitzvah, she'en novi osid l'chadish dover me'ata. That no novi is going to create anything new. So how does it help you to say? Yep. You want to say, first we tried to say they came up with a new form of the letter, you can't, Eilat Mitzvahs. So how does it help? If you have the same kind of thing, that originally there were both forms, but they could be used interchangeably, and now the halacha is you can't use them interchangeably, that's still a change in halacha. Ella, so no, the answer is Shachum v'chazru v'yistrum. The people had forgotten which one was supposed to be used where. And then the Nevi'im reestablished them. So it's not that the Nevi'im came up with it on their own, not a chiddush, but they reestablished it. Which is not so simple anyway. A Navi is still not allowed to establish something of halacha using his power of Nevuah. The Gemara tells in Tmura, for example, that there were several hundred halachas that they forgot during the period of mourning for Moshe Rabbeinu, where afterwards they asked Yeshua, and later times they asked Shmuel, use your nevuah and reestablish what the correct halacha is, and they said we can't, Eilat Mitzvahs, no Navi can come up with it, you can't decide halacha based on nevuah. The Rambam in fact writes that if a person paskins halacha based on his nevuah, then he's a false Navi. So what does it mean over here when we say that Sofim Amra, that Shachum v'chazru yistrum, we have to say either it means they weren't wearing their Navi hat to do that, they're wearing their Talmud Chacham hat.
Remember that.
In other words, it couldn't be, for example, that they heard from Hashem it's supposed to be this way, because you can't do that. You can't establish halacha based on Nevuah. But all of the Nevi'im were also Talmud Chacham, and many of them that Rambam writes were actually the heads of the Sanhedrin in their respective times. So wearing their member of Sanhedrin hat, they're entitled to Paskin Halacha. We call them Tzofim because that was their other job. They were also Nevi'im. But they didn't do it from the point of view of being Nevi'im, they did it from the point of view of being Talmid Chachamim. And there is a different explanation that says that there might be a difference between reestablishing something that was forgotten versus coming up versus deciding halachas that we're not certain about. Okay. Yeah.
What's the problem?
The point is that if there was only a regular mem, then it's not b'nes hayomdin. The middle of the mem is standing there the same way as the middle of any other letter.
Which mem are you talking about?
A regular mem, a middle word, a beginning of the middle, or middle of the word mem.
Right, so that, in other words, that's not.
So that means to say that at least there had to be a shloss mem then. In order to be talking about the Ness. Now, the real question is, anyway, I mean, what do you mean, Shachum v'chazru v'yistrum? I mean, you have Sefer Torah, you have Tefillin, Mezuzahs, open one up and see what's written how. There is a lot of discussion about that whole point. Among others, there is a daya that only the luchos were written in Ksav Ashuris, were written in the script that we have now. Other Sifrei Torah were written in Ksav Ivri, which the ancient script that they used in the time, still in the time of the Second Beis Hamikdash, they used it on coins and whatnot. And according to one opinion, in the time of the First Beis Hamikdash, they used it also for Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs. So therefore, in that script, Yitaka don't have a difference between two different kinds of chaf or two different kinds of mem and so forth. So Yitaka couldn't tell. The only way to tell would be to look at the luchas. And the luchas are hidden away in the Kodesh HaKadosh. I mean, eventually there came the point. Yoshiyahu hid them underneath, had them hidden underneath the Beis HaMikdash. So there may well have been a time when people were not able to look it up. There is...
Everything was Lashon Kodesh, and that's from day one.
No, Lashon Kodesh, definitely, but there's a difference between Lashon Kodesh and Ksav Ashuri. The Gemara has a machlokas about it in Sanhedrin, I think we've touched on it before, whether originally everything was written in Ksav Ashuri, and just maybe at one point they forgot it and Ezra reestablished it, or whether originally things were written in Ksav Ivrit, and Ezra was made a takana based on a pasuk Mishnah Torah Azos, that the script needs to be, and based on the thing with Daniel on the handwriting on the wall in Belshazzar's palace, etc., that the time has come, the script has to be changed. Now, there is one way of looking at it, that only the luchos were written in Ksav Ashuris, the square script that we have now. Everything else was written in Ksav Ivri, and therefore they may well have forgotten it.
Why was it reestablished by
the Nevi'im? That's what we're saying.
Can it be reestablished by the Nevi'im?
No, so that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. According to this way of looking at it, Ezra established in his times, based on a limud from a pasuk, that from now on, Sifrei Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzahs have to be written in Ksav Ashuri. They may not be written in Ksav Ivri anymore.
Why?
That was their takana, and they based themselves on a pasuk according to that opinion in the Gemara Mishnah Torah Azos, that the script is one day going to be changed. They used also the fact that the story of Daniel with the handwriting on the wall in Belshazzar's palace, where the Gemara discusses over there, why couldn't anybody read it, or why is Belshazzar and his advisors all in a tizzy about it? It's Hebrew. People know Hebrew because it was a new kind of script they weren't familiar with. But the Chachamim of that period, according to this Deya, understood that as also being a Simen Min HaShemayim, that it's time for this new script to start to be used.
It's not a spirit to a Navi doing it. It was there.
One way of looking at it is it was there all along, that the Luchos were originally written in the script, but it wasn't meant for other things, even Sifrei Torah and whatnot, until Ezra. There are some Rishonim who go even further, and based on a Yerushalmi partly, and say there was a difference in that regard between the first and the second Luchos. The first Luchos were written in Ksav Ashuris, and that's what Rav Chisda is saying, Mem Besamach Benesa Yoimdin. The second Luchos were already on a lower level of Kedusha than the first one, and they were written in Ksav Ivri. And there's actually a Yerushalmi that talks about that. There's a Yerushalmi that says that mentions, instead of Mem and Samach, it mentions an Ayin and a Dalad, that the middles of them stood there with Derech Nes, because in Ksav Ivre, an Ayin is a round circle, like a letter O, and a Dalad is a triangle. So those are the closed up letters in Ksav Ivre.
That looks like Greek.
Yeah, that's the Greeks. The Greeks borrowed those letters to make their alphabet. Yeah.
Looks
yeah.
Like
yeah. That's where they get the letters D and O, yeah. Anyway. So all these things can explain how it can be shachum v'chazru v'yistrum, that they forgot the original Ksav Ashuri, and therefore when it was established that you're going to start writing in Ksav Ashuri again, that you're going to start writing Kisvei Kodesh in Ashuri, then you need to know what's the final forms and what's the middle forms. And that's what we're saying, that Sofim reestablished that. Targum shel Torah, the Targum of the Chamisha Chamisha Torah, Unkulos, Ager, Omrim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Unkulos, the Ger, said it in the name of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So they taught him, and he wrote the Targum. Targum shel Nevi'im, Yonas and Benazil, Omrim, Chagas, Chayo, Malachi. The Targum of Nevi'im, with Yonas and Benazil, was a couple of generations before Unkulos, he was one of the Talmudim of Hillel and Shammai. He said it in the name of Chagas Chai and Malachi. Now, that doesn't mean he actually learned it from them. Chagas Chai and Malachi are at the beginning of the second Bismuth, because Yonas and Benazil is towards the end of it. It means he had the Masoda from them. The explanations that he put into the Targum go back to them.
Not directly, though.
By transmission, from generation to generation. Although it's interesting, I don't know. I mean, the Rambam has a shita. The Gemara mentions in Yevamos that Rav Dosa ben Horkinas, who lived around the time of the Churban and a little bit after it, says that he remembered he has a certain Amaduchazu Yeshua Chagas Chayim Malachi, that Chagas Chayim Malachi sat on the seat and taught a certain halacha. How does he know that particular seat? And the Yerushalmi also mentions that he knew that Rav Elazar ben Azariah resembles his ancestor Ezra. So the Rambam actually says he lived that long. He lived throughout the time of the second Bismuth. So according to that, according to the Rambam, it's possible that Yonas and Menaziel might well have heard this stuff from Rav Dosa ben Horkinas, who in turn heard it from Chagas Chayim Malachi. I don't know.
How many years?
We're talking about 300 years. Anyway. When Yonas and Benazil wrote his Targum, Vinizdaza Eretz Yisrael, Abameas Parasal, Abameas Parasal, the whole Eretz Yisrael trembled, the whole Eretz Yisrael is 400 by 400 parasal at its greatest extent. So the whole Eretz Yisrael shook.
Well, this is the thing with being 400 by 400 parasal, because doesn't it say that Egypt's 400 by 400?
Yeah, so. Okay, so Eretz Yisrael is also, you know. What it means, where you're measuring from, where you're measuring to, I don't know, you have to look on a map exactly. It's probably from someplace on the Pros River down to the Sinai Desert or something. Anyway,
Egypt of today is not
the Egypt of today. Yeah, okay, I don't know. If you consider the width of the Nile Delta and the length of it down to one of the cataracts over there, it may well be close. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Yotzabat. So the whole Eretz Yisrael shook. Yotzabasko v'amra, and a basko came out and called out, "Mi huzesh gilas torah livnei adam? Who is this who revealed my secrets to human beings?" What's the secret? So the Gemara is going to talk about soon. Amad Yonas and Benazil Araglov. So Yonas and Benazil stood on his feet for Amr. Anihu Shagilis Historechal of Ne'adam. I'm the one who revealed your secrets to human beings. But you should know, Goli Viadur Lefanecha, you know very well, Shaloy Lechvoid Yosisi, that I didn't do it for my honor. Veloy Lechvoid Beis Abba, I didn't do it for the honor of my father's family, like Choni Amagel said in his, yeah, same expression. El Lechvoid Chosisi, I did it for your covet, Shalayuba, Machloikas be Israel, that there should not be increase of Machloikas among the Jewish people, that people should understand what the Psukim are saying. Then Yonas and Benazir wanted to continue and also reveal the Targum of Ksuvim. However, Yotza Basko v'Omrolai, but a Basko came out and told him, Dayecha, enough. Don't translate Ksuvim. My time, Mishum Deisbe, Ketz Mashiach, because Ksuvim contain Psukim, which talk about the Ketz when Mashiach is going to come. Specifically, Sefer Daniel has all about that. Yonis ibn Uziel, as the Gemara is going to explain in a minute, his Targum explains a lot of otherwise obscure Psukim that we would have no idea what they mean, and Yonis ibn Uziel explains them. If he were to do the same kind of thing to Sefer Daniel, we'd be able to understand from the Psukim when Mashiach is going to come, and the Yerusha doesn't want that to be revealed.
They would have heard it then, how long it is.
Yeah, they would have given up.
Everything.
So why didn't he just translate the rest of the Sfarim? So some of Harshim say, because what's the sense of only translating part of Ksuvim? It's all or nothing, basically. And other Mepharshim say there are actually other Psukim in Ksuvim also that hint at times of Mashiach. The Avudraham, for example, writes that he has a Kabbalah that when Yonis and Menizio was translating Tillim, and he reached the translation of the pasuk Yimlech Hashem La'olam that we say at the end of Kedusha. That's at that point that the Baskel told him enough. Don't go any further.
What about in Mashkifim Baskel? Is that on halacha?
This wasn't a matter of halacha. This is a matter of the Eibush is telling him, don't do what you're doing. Lemaisa, there are a number of books of Ksuvim that have a targum to them. Some of Farshim talk about, obviously based on our Gemara, those targum. That targum is not from Yonis and Benazil; it's from other people. There's also a targum on Chumash that's called Targum Yonis and Benazil, which is much more. It has a lot of midrashim and whatnot in it compared to a targum Onkelos, is much more straightforward. But again, based on our Gemara over here, it seems he only translated Nevi'im, so the one that they call Targum Yonis and Chumash must be from somebody else. Some people claim that actually it's really supposed to be called Targum Yerushalmi, but they wrote Tuf Yud, and some people expanded it by mistake to Targum Yonison. Anyway.
Why did the Pascal ask who was Megali?
Of course they knew, but I guess it's like Haytachin.
Same idea as by Yaka.
To start a conversation, I guess, yeah. The question is, what do you mean? Targum shall tell Unkulos Ager Amr? You're telling me that Unkulos is the first one who came up with the Targum that we use on Chumash? Well, Amr of Ikaba Oven, Amr of Chananel Amarav, my dichtiv, what does it mean? It's now we're going back 400 years or so before Unkulos. We're going back to the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. The Pasuk describes there how Ezra and Nehemiah and the leaders of that generation read to the people from the Sefer Torah. And it says like this: Vayikru b'sefer Torah Salakim. They read from the Sefer Torah, from the Sefer of the Torah of Hashem, Mefurosh, explained the same seichel, and giving the seichel, the sense of it. Vayavinu b'mikra, and they understood in the pasuk. What does that mean? Vayikru b'sefer Torah Salakim z'mikra means they read the actual words of the pasuk in Lashon Kodesh. Mefurosh is a targum. The word Mefurosh means that they explained it by giving the targum, because in those days people spoke Aramaic, the Lashon Kodesh. They weren't speaking Lashon Kodesh as their regular daily language anymore, so they needed the targum to understand it. The same seichel and giving the understanding elu apsukim. This means the divisions of the psukim. That this way you know where one topic begins and one ends. Vayavinu b'mikra, and when it says they understood it, they understood in the psukim elu piske taimim. This means the divisions of time of taimim of the trup. The trup. One of the functions of the trup on the psukim is they serve like punctuation marks to divide the psukim into clauses so you can understand them. I think the Evan Ezra, one of the Rishonim, actually says that as a general rule, if you ever find an explanation of a pasuk, he says, that ignores the taimim, don't listen to that explanation. You know it can't possibly be right. The whole point of the taimim is to divide up the words in the pasuk so we know what fits together with what.
Who made them the taimim?
So that's what we're saying over here. We're saying over here that all these things. Amri lo elu amasoras. Others say that it's the masora, where the pasuk where we have masora, that certain words are written mole, and other words are written chaser, and you have kriyuksiv, all that kind of thing. So we see from this that it goes back at least to the time of Ezra. Actually, the Gemara in Nedarim mentions that all of these things, or most of these things, at least are halacha l'Moshe Mesinai.
Some people say it was from the time of
So the symbols that we use, to write the trup, come from the Chachmei Tveria about 1,000 years ago, yeah. But the actual trup themselves, that this word has a mapach and this word has a pashta and so forth, that we're saying goes back to Ezra, and from him all the way back to the Moshe Mesinai. And there are other deists on it. There is the day of Rebbe Elia Bacher from about 400 or 500 years ago, who claims that the trup as a whole were invented by the Chachmei Tveria. But most other Rishonim and Achronim disagree with that. Anyway, so again the Targum goes back to long before Onkelos. And again, the answer is Shochum v'Chazru v'Yistrum. They had forgotten the Targum, and then Onkelos reestablished it. Which actually then it comes out based on this Gemara and based on the one in Dorim that the Targum itself goes back is also Allah Moshe Sinai. Now, does that mean the actual words of the Targum, or does it just mean the concepts that are in the Targum? Sometimes you have, you know, usually the Targum just translates word for word the Psukim, but there's places where he doesn't exactly translate word for word. When you have an expression like Yad Hashem or Lifnei Hashem or whatever, you know, he'll use kind of a roundabout expression. So it's, you know, something you'll have in the parts of Torah that are more poetic, like Yaakov's brachas to the Shvatim and Moshe Rabbeinu's brachas, and he expands on it a little bit with the deeper meaning behind it. So that when we say that goes that's Halacha Moshe Misina, and then later on that Ezra explained it to the people, are we talking about the actual words, or are we talking about the sense of what Unculus later on put into Aramaic? There's different dais on that. The Alter Rebbe seems to say in Hilchos Talmud Torah that's the actual words of the Targum themselves that are Halacha Moshe Misina, and that's what he says. For one thing, the post can say this is one reason why we do Shnai Mikrevech of Targum. Why it was the Targum? Why not some other translation? Because we see how important the Targum is.
It's essential.
We see that the Targum, like the Psukim themselves, goes back. It goes back to Moshe Sinai.
Secret of Torah.
Yeah.
How did they forget it? Did they write it down?
No, Dvarim Shavachsav, Yatar Asher Elohim, Dvarim Shavalpe, Yatar Asher Elohim, Bachsav. Actually, there are some Mephoshim who say that was the problem, why the earth shook and why the Baskol called out and was so upset with Yonis and Benazil's Targum, is because effectively what you have now is you kind of have a mix of Torah Shavachsav and Torah Shavalpe. You, what are you going to do? You're going to write it down, you're going to have Torah Shavalpe being written down. You're going to do it Balpe, you have the surface meaning of Torah Shavachsav being done Balpe. So either way, you have a problem. That was one issue with it. The Gemara asks, "My shna deraisa v'lois daza." Okay, so why is it that the earth did not shake when the Torah was translated? Va'ad nevi is daza, and it did shake when neviim were translated. The reason is deraisa mefarsha milsa. What things that it says in the Torah are pretty straightforward. Yeah, I mean, obviously we have things that we need to understand using the Yud Gimel Midas Shatur and Adreshes Behem. You know, not always is the surface meaning quite so surface, but at least you can understand things in Torah based on this Gemara over there. You can understand things from Torah, from within Torah itself. You can use Gzeda Shavas, you can use Kavachomas, you can use all the other Yud Gimel Midas, etc., and you can figure out what it's talking about. You know, Rashi said in today's Chumash, Rashi says, you know, yesterday actually, that Kol HaNeviim Nisnabu B'Koyim Moshe Nisnabu B'Zeh. So Moshe's Nebuah is very clear. The Ebershah didn't give him Nebuah with Mesholim and so forth. He told him straight out what needs to be said. As opposed to the Nevi, ikim miladim afarshan ve'ikim miladim asatman. When it comes to Nevi'im, some things are very clear, some things are very obscure. Again, part of the reason, because the Nevi'im were not given their Nevuah in a clear way like Moshe Rabbeinu, they're given it as a mashal or whatever, so to understand what's behind the mashal is sometimes not so simple. And here's an example, Dechtiv, by Yoimahu Yigdala Misbed Yerushalayim, on that day, this is talking about Mashiach's times, there'll be a great mourning in Yerushalayim, Kimisbed Hadad Rimon Bevikas Megiddon, like the mourning of Hadad Rimon in the valley of Megiddon. Now, where do we ever find a person named Hadad Rimon who was killed or buried or eulogized or whatever in the valley of Megiddon, that the Pasuk is using it as an example of a tremendous mourning? We don't know of one. So for Amr Rabbi Yosef, Ilmole Targum Adahaikra, if it were not for the Targum Yonis, on this pasuk, lo yadayna, my comma, we would not know what the pasuk means. What it means is like this: B'yayimahu, on that day, yiske misbedav Yerushalayim, there'll be a tremendous mourning in Yerushalayim, k'misbedav Achav bar Omri, like the mourning that they made for Achav, the son of Omri, the famous king Achav.
Misbed means
a hesped, a mourning, a eulogy, yeah. So like the mourning for Achav, the son of Omri, the famous king Achav, Dekato Yoseh Hadadrimon ben Tavrimon Beromis Gilad, that Hadadrimon ben Tavrimon, who was the king of Aram at the time, killed him in Romis Gilad. The pasuk, the last parak of Malachim Aleph tells the whole story. The gist of it is that
we
talked about it at some point. We talked about Yoshio last week in Tainus. That'll be the next thing. Achav, the story with him briefly is that he went to battle in Ramos Gilad. The Navi Michai, who told him, "You're not going to come back from the battle alive." He didn't listen. He went to battle. The king of Aram orders his soldiers don't try to kill anybody. Only the Melech Yisrael. The Navi had actually said that everybody is going to be safe except for the king. So they wish to put it into Hadad Rimon's mind. Ben Hadad, the pasuk calls him over there, whatever, to do that way. And sure enough, one of his archers shot an arrow and so to speak happened to hit Achav. So Achav was killed over there, and the Pasuk says, they mourned the Pasuk, Vatavra Rino Bamachna. There was a tremendous outcry in the Machna. The Gemara mentions Baba Kama that there were 36,000 people who went out mourning for him.
What story? Eliyahu came to him and he took over the field.
Oh, that was by Navos. Yeah, we had that. But that was earlier. After he killed, that's what you think. Okay, so after he killed Navos, so Eliyahu came to him. Aratzachta v'gam yirashta. You're going to be killed. The dogs are going to lick your blood, etc. And Achad the Tshuva. That's what we learned. Yeah, we learned last week about that's why a fast from 9 hours and on can be considered can be considered a fast, right? But then they Eibush sent Eliyahu to say, fine, the dynasty won't be wiped out in Achav's times. He himself will continue to reign for a couple more years, and then he'll still be killed in battle.
But
his trouble will help that the ultimate punishment will be delayed for his son's times. But he himself, with the thing with the battle, there is also the pasuk tells the whole story over there that 400 Nevi'a Sheker came saying that he's going to be successful. Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, calls for the one Navi Emes who was around at the time, Michayu. He tells Achav, don't go, you're going to get killed in battle because this is the spirit of Navos is out for looking for revenge. So he's tricking all the Nevi'im into telling you to go. Akitzer, Achav didn't listen. Anyway, so the first part, when we say Kemispid Hadad Rimon, that means the mourning that they made for Achav, who was killed by Hadad Rimon. And the second part, Uchemispid Adi Yoshiyah Ba Amon, and like the mourning they did for Yoshiyahu, the son of Amon, the king Yoshiyahu, Jekato Yase Para Chagira, the Pare the lame, Pare Nechoy, Nechoy means he was lame, killed him with Vikas Megiddo in the valley of Megiddo. So the Pasuk is referring to two different episodes in Jewish history up to that point when there had been a tremendous mourning. First for Achav, and then a couple hundred years later for Yoshiyahu.
Yoshiyahu was a tzaddik, right?
Yoshiyahu was a tzaddik. Achav was a rasha. Yeah.
And it still had a big mourning.
One of the mafarshim, I think Ben Yoyada, says that that's the reason why the pasuk is mentioning these two specifically. What's the mourning that the pasuk is talking about? There's going to be Limayis Mashiach. We learned back in Sukkah two different opinions. One is that they're mourning for Mashiach ben Yosef, that Mashiach ben Yosef gets killed and then Mashiach ben David comes, and the other is they're mourning the fact that the Yetzirah was killed. We had over there that the tzaddikim are going to cry, how is it that we were able to conquer such a high mountain, and the Rishayim are going to cry, how is it we weren't able to conquer such a tiny little spider web. So either way, you have both the tzaddikim and the rishayim are going to be mourning. Therefore, the pasuk mentions over here two cases: one where the rishayim were mourning for their hero Achav, and one where the tzaddikim were mourning for their hero Yoshiyahu. But at any rate, the point is, if it weren't for Yonas and Benaziel's Targum, we would have no idea what the pasuk is talking about, because we have no other pasuk that mentions Hadad Rimon or mentions Bika. We have other pasukim that mention them, but we wouldn't put two and two together. So that's what the Baskel meant, saying that you're revealing my secrets. You're telling people, so that's actually some of Farshim say that was the objection. Also, besides what I mentioned before about Teresh B'Chsav and Teresh B'Alpeh, another way of looking at it is precisely because the Eibishter gave these nevuos to the Nevi'im in this obscure way, not always so clear. When Yonis and Menazio comes and translates it, it's like he's making it now. This becomes the official way of understanding the Navi's nevuah, and the whole point was the Eibishter gave it to him in sort of an equivocal way. We talked about just now, when we kind of touched now on the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Yonas and Menazir was able to translate Nevi'im, but we said when he came to Ksuvim, then all of a sudden Eibishter told him, no, there's Ketz Mashiach in there. Even though usually we say that Nevi'im are higher than Ksuvim. Nevi'im is with Nevuah, and Ksuvim is written only with Ruach HaKodesh. And some of the authors of Ksuvim are not, as the Gemara is going to say now, that brings us to the next piece of Gemara, that at least one of the authors of Ksuvim, Daniel, is not really considered a Navi. So that brings us to the next piece of Gemara. The Pasuk says in Daniel that at one point Daniel had one of his visions, and the expression is "V'ra'isi ani Daniel levadi esamare." Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. "V'hanashim asheimi loyro esamare." The other men who were with me did not see the vision. "Avo charada doyle nafal aleim," but a tremendous terror fell on them. "Vayivrechu behechave," and they ran away to hide. So, man ninu anoshim, who are these people? I mean, if he's saying there were people with me, and he's saying like a chiddush, they didn't see it, is mashma, you would expect they would see it. So we're not just talking about stam people. Who are they? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Tamer, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba. This is the other reason why the Gemara is bringing this, because again, this is another one of those things that Rabbi Yirmiyah or some say Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba said. They are Zechanat Zechagis Chaya Malachi.
They want
some clue. They were Nevi'im. And the Gemara points out, Inu Adifi Minei, in one sense they were greater than him, Vi'inu, Vi'ihu Adif Minayu. In the other sense, though, he was greater than them. Why? They chagis chayim malachi or neviim. Daniel is not a navi. Now, what do we mean not a navi? So Rashi says not a navi in the sense that he was never sent with a message to the Jewish people. His messages were meant to be written down in ksuvim. A navi is sent as like a spokesman of the Eibishter to speak to the Jewish people, tell them to do tshuva, tell them whatever. Daniel was not sent with a message like that to the Jewish people. Therefore, we're not counting him as a navi. There are other issues. The Rambam has a different shita. The Rambam says that in fact Daniel was not even was not a navi in a different sense. In the sense that Eibishter never actually spoke to him. We find throughout Sefer Daniel that he saw Malachim talked to him, and whatever. We never actually find that the Eibishter personally spoke to him. So in that sense, he's not a navi. Anyway, so in that sense, then Chag Yischai and Malachi are greater than him. On the other hand, Iu Adif Minayo, but Daniel is greater than them. The Iu Chazav Inu Lechazu. This particular vision he saw, they didn't. Well, the question is, well, if they didn't see the vision, my time of Ivisu, then why were they so terrified? The answer is a famous expression, because even though they did not see it, their mazel saw it. What's their mazel? What's their mazel? Rashi says, sar shokol adam lamayla, the sar, the malach in charge of every person up above. In Chassidus, it talks about the idea that the mazel of a person is the shurdish of their neshama. A person has the nefesh ruach neshama chaya yichida, the chaya and yichida usually are makif, they're not nefesh ruach neshama are within the person, and chaya and yichida are the ora soviv of a person. So that's what we're talking about when we say mazel, and it's called mazel maloshen noizel, because from it flows through this mazel of a person flows down the Eibishter's hashpah to him. So even though they didn't see, their mazel saw it.
And that's why they were afraid.
Omer Ravina, Shmamina. So we see from this, Haiman de Mivis, that if somebody, if you ever have, if a person ever feels that they're terrified without knowing why, then it means, even though he's not seeing what's going on, his mazel sees what's going on. So it might be, for example, that he's being threatened by Shadim or something, by Mazikin. My takante. So, what should he do to deal with the problem? Liquid Krishma. Let him say Krishma. That he's showing. I'm putting my Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Eibishter is the only power in the world. The Shadim don't have power over me.
We had
something about this.
To make it go away.
We had the dreams. We had in Brachas. So I don't think we had this particular expression, but
no. But we had something about Shema. Yeah.
What? No, just regular Krishna. The koyim b'makom atinofes. What if he's standing in a filthy place?
We had also bituyim that they have to say so the shadim go away.
Sometimes, yeah, dude. We had the psachim. We had a bunch of them. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. The ikoyim b'makom atinofes. If he's standing in a dirty place, where he's not allowed to say Krishna. Lunchef miduch to Abu Gamidi. Then he should jump 4 amos from where he is now, because that like puts him in a different place. We had last week or 2 weeks ago. We had the story with Rava, where he caused rain to fall in the middle of the summer, and his father comes to him in a dream and tells him, find someplace else to sleep tonight. The Shadim are after you. He does, and he finds his bed marked up with knives, because Marashah said over there that the Shadim only have rishus to harm in one particular place. So you jump 4 amos out of your place, you're in a different place. The Shadim don't have rishus to go to get to you over there.
The trick is to know that they're going to hit the first place.
Yeah. The Eloi, and if not, let's say for example you're in a place where you're not able to jump 4 amos, lema hachi, then you should say like this: Iza debe tabchi, the goats at the sheikhet's house shmeina minai are fatter than me. In other words, go bother the goats and leave me alone.
That's one of them. That's one of them.
That's yeah.
What? They're more delicious than I am.
Okay, yeah, basically, yeah. Okay, going back to now. So now we got into all of this again, Pashtus, because we mentioned one thing that Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba said about Megillah, and that brought us into all these other things. Now getting back to the topic that the Gemara had mentioned on Beis Amud Beis, we had a machloikus over there between Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha and the Chachamim. About when we say a walled city, are we talking about walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, or are we talking about walled from the times of Achashverosh, from the time of the story of the Megillah? And one thing we mentioned over there is that both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha have to find a way to explain what the pasuk means in Megillah Esther, that Medino Medino v'ir v'ir, read the Megillah. So we talked about that according. We talked about that according to the Tanakhama, according to the Chachamim. Medino means that there's some walled cities that do read and some don't. Namely, if they were walled afterwards, and Ir v'Ir means that there's a difference between Shushan, which wasn't walled in the times of Yeshua, but was walled later, and they still read on the 15th because that's where the Ness happened. What does Rabbi Yeshua do? What does Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha do with these Pesukim? Now, getting back to that, the Hashta de'amet Medino v'Ir v'Ir the drasha. Once we've established then that the words Medino v'Ir v'Ir are coming to teach us a drasha about what kind of cities read when. The question is, Mishpacha Mishpacha L'may Asa. What are we doing with the words previously to that in the pasuk? We have that who reads the Megillah? Vayomim Eilin Iskoy Menasim B'chol Devadar. Mishpacha O Mishpacha Medino Medino V'Ir V'Ir. So what's the Mishpacha O Mishpacha for? Before getting into what the Gemara says about it, there's an interesting.
No, we don't read for a Mishpacha.
No, you could. Actually, though, I'll tell you, Rabbi Isaac Halevi in Doris HaRashonim has a very interesting chap on this. He says that in the times when the Megillah was written, he uses this as one of the you had the various apikorsim of the last 100 or 200 years who claim that the Megillah wasn't written at the time of the Nes Purim, that was written 100 or 200 or whatever it is years later. He says like this. The word mishpacha in the times of Tanakh didn't just mean like we think of it, a mother or father and kids, and you know, maybe aunts and uncles or whatever. It meant a whole extended family, like you have tens of thousands of people who are all descended from one common ancestor 500 years ago. Like in last week's parasha, Chanoch mishpachas haChanochi, the Palu mishpachas haPalui, and you know, the whole Shevet Reuven, and you know, the whole Shevet Reuven is four families and they're 40,000 men, and so forth with all the other Shvatim. That's what mishpacha meant in the times of Tanakh. In the times of the Mishnah, in the times of Gemara, mishpacha came to mean what we think of it now, a nuclear family and close relatives. The pasuk over here is putting mishpacha or mishpacha even before medina, which means a whole country or a whole large city. Why? Because in those times, mishpacha still meant taka, a whole clan that could be spread across many different big cities and many different countries. As opposed to nowadays, if the Megillah had been written any later, you would have had to put mishpacha at the end of the list. Amar Rabbi Yosef Achanina, Lahavi Mishpachas Kohuna Leviyah. This comes to add that the Mishpacha is the families of the Kohenim and Leviyim. Shemavatlin Abedas, and they have to be Mavatl their Avodah, or Boyin Lashmoyim Mikra Megillah, and they come to hear the Megillah being read. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rab, exactly that. Kohenim Babedas, and the Kohenim in their Avodah, or Leviyim Beduchan, and the Leviyim from their Duchan, where they're playing the instruments and singing, the Yisrael B'mamad, and the Yisraelim from their Maimad, that we talked about in Tainus, Kulun Mevatlan Avedas, and they all break off from their Avodah, Uvayim L'Shemayim Mikra Megillah, and they all come to hear the Megillah. Mephoshim do talk about the question. Tosfos touches on it over here, and other Rishonim also discuss. Are we talking about if they have time to hear the Megillah and then still do their Avodah? That's when they do it? Or do we mean even if hearing the Megillah is going to cause them to miss the Avodah altogether? Let's say it's late in the day, and if they, by the time they finish hearing the Megillah, there's not going to be time to do the Avodah. Are we talking even in that case? Machlokes Rishonim. In other words, let's say, for example, for whatever reason, they didn't manage to bring the Talmud Trabbe and Abayim until, I don't know, half an hour before Shkia or something. All of a sudden, they realize we haven't read the Megillah yet. Should they read the Megillah now, even though it's going to take a half hour, and then they're not going to have a chance to bring the Talmud Trabbe and Abayim? Or maybe not. Ma'akev is a different thing. We'll actually be talking about in Tainus whether the Yisraelim being there at the time of the Korban is actually Ma'akev or not. We had a Gemara over there that said that the Maimed is Ma'akev, the Talmud, but we discussed over there whether it actually means it's Ma'akev in the sense that if you don't have the Anshe Maimed there, the Korban is actually Pasul, or does it just mean they would wait with bringing the Korban until they're able to show up?
In that sense.
Anyway.
This, of course, only the second message.
Obviously, they didn't have Megillah in the first place. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn similar in the Braise, Koinim Abedasan, Olvim, Beduchanim, Beisrael, Mamadon, Kulun Mevatan Abedasan, they're all Mevatan, they're Avoido, Voin, the Shemayim, Mikra Megillah, and they all come to hear the Megillah. Mikan, Samchu, Shalbes Rebbe, and based on this, the household, the yeshiva of Rebbe, were Seimach on this, Shemavatan Tamil Torah, that they would break off from learning Torah, or Voin, the Shemayim, Mikra Megillah, and they would come to hear the Megillah. There's a famous question that Achronim have on this. What do you mean Mevatan Tamil Torah? Here in the Megillah itself is one of the Chafdalot Sifrei Kodesh. It's one of the books of Tanakh. Hearing it is learning Torah. What do you mean? You bring Mevatel from Talmud Torah? There's a few different answers. Where the Aruch HaShulchan gives an answer because not necessarily. When you're going to hear Mikra Megillah, maybe you don't have the whole minyan together yet. You have to sit there waiting a few minutes. That's Mevatel from Talmud Torah. But there's a different answer that a number of Achronim give that I've quoted it several times in Sichas, that Talmud Torah is at the level that you're able to. If you're able to learn at a deeper level, and instead you're hearing the words of the Megillah, which is a more shitcheistic thing, that's a form of Bittul Torah. So when we say Mevatel Talmud Torah, then yeah, that's what it means. You're Mevatel, your deeper level, Talmud Torah, in order to hear Mikra Megillah.
Rav Soloveitchik says that.
So it's a famous thing. A number of Acharonim say it, yeah.
I think that's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how do we know this? Kal v'chomer me'avoda. Because we make a kal v'chomer based on the avoda. Uma avoda shi chamura mevatlinon. If we're saying that we're mevatel the avoda, which is more serious, that we're, okay, even if we say according to the Rishonim who say that mevatel doesn't mean we're mevatel it altogether, it just means we delay it, but still, we delay it for the sake of hearing the Megillah. Okay. And Tosfos points out that after all, it's not just a matter of, I mean, in principle, they could hear the Megillah anytime during the day. It's a matter of you want to get together at Tzibur, Persumin Nissa. So you're doing, for that sake, you're delaying the avoda. Talmud Torah, like Hoshka. And then how much more so? Talmud Torah, you should. So you're telling me the Kal v'chomer relies on the idea. You're saying that Avodah is more important than Talmud Torah. Right. But is that really so? But we have a pasuk in Yeshua that says like this. It happened when Yeshua was in Yericho. It doesn't actually mean in Yericho yet, because then he had conquered Yericho. It means in the area, in the area right outside Yericho. He lifts up his eyes and he sees a man standing before him. And the pasuk finishes off. He bowed down before him. Now, before we get to the actual reason why the Gemara is quoting this, the Gemara interjects with a question. What do you mean he bowed down to him? How can he do that? A person is not allowed to say shalom to another person at night, because we're afraid he might be a shed, and it's inappropriate to use shalom, which is the name of the Eibishter, in greeting to a shed. Tosfos explains that this is not just talking about anywhere. We're talking about you're outside the city. You're like in the middle of nowhere where mazikim are likely to be. We're not talking about you meet somebody in the street.
We're referring to this to Vayishtachul Apa.
Well, wait. So the point is, if you can't even say shalom to somebody at night because he might be a shed, how much more so you don't bow to him because he might be bowing to a shed?
Exactly.
So what is he doing? The answer is, the Gemara says, shiny hossam, it's different over there, because the man, who was really a malach, tells him, ki ani sar tzva Hashem, I am the commander of the army of Hashem.
A shed couldn't say that?
That's the question. V'dilma mashakri, so maybe it's a shed and he's lying. The answer is, gemiri dilim mapke shem shemayim levatala. The shedim respect the Eibishter's name. They don't take the Eibishter's name in vain. We have the famous story in Gittin over there with Ashmedai, where Ben Yoyada chains him up with a chain and a lock that has the Eibishter's name written on it. And when Ashmedai realizes that he's chained up, he tries to break out of the chain until Ben Yoyada tells him, the Eibishter's name is on that chain. Don't you dare break it. And he calms down. Even the Shadim know. The Shadim know. We're going to learn actually in Chagiga in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, that Shadim are like half human, halfway between a human being and a malach. So yeah, they know that there's an Eibishter and they respect him.
They have principles.
Yeah.
That's what?
They have principles. Yeah. Okay, so that explains how he's able to bow to him. Actually, even Mefarshim discussed there was a little more detail in that. Still, how do you bow to a malach? And the answer is that the answer is if the malach is appearing in human form, then you can, because the same way as you bow to somebody out of respect. You're not bowing down to him as another power, as if you're bowing down to another power other than the Eibishter, which it would be if he appears as a malach. You're bowing down to him out of respect, like you bow down to a king or whatever.
How would Yaakov bow down to Esau?
Same idea. You can bow down to somebody out of respect. Even with Mordechai and Haman, that's why you have the famous idea we'll have later in the parak that Haman made himself a getchka. He put a getchka on his clothes and whatever. And that's why Mordechai didn't bow to him. If it weren't for that, if it's Stam, the king ordered that everybody should honor Haman, sure, Mordechai would bow to him like everybody else. Yeah.
Because it's not a getchka.
Right. So the Malach says to Yeshua, Omaloi, Emesh bitaltam Talmud Shabbat Abayim. Yesterday you mevatel the Talmud Shabbat. You did not bring the Talmud Shabbat Abayim. Va'achshav bitaltam Talmud Torah. And now you'll be mevatel from learning Torah. What happened? This is they're busy besieging Yericho. So they had the Oren with them. They had the Oren with them. So therefore they had the Kohenim were together with the Oren because they're the ones carrying it. Therefore they had forgotten to bring the Talmud Shabbat Abayim. So the Malach is criticizing Yeshua. You should have brought the Oren back to the Machna and the Kohenim should have brought the carbon. Actually, we learned in Erevin that Yeshua was also held to task for the fact that when the Oren is outside of its place, nobody is allowed to do Tashmish HaMitta. So that night, nobody was able to have relations, and Yeshua was later on punished for that also. He didn't end up having any sons, only daughters. But
He didn't know?
He didn't realize, I don't know. But anyway, so you were Mevatel Tamat Torah b'Abayim, because you had the Kohenim and the Orin with you, but actually we taught them Tamat Torah, and now you're being Mevatel Tamat Torah. It's at night. You're not besieging, you're not fighting anyway at night. You should be spending the time learning.
We learned Tosfos a few days ago.
Yeah, you're supposed to learn at night, exactly. Tosfos explains that actually, how do we know those were dafka the two problems that the Malach is upgrading him for? He doesn't say so in the Pasuk. He just says, I need to say to Hashem, Ata Basi. The thing is like this, he says, Yeshua asks the Malach, Halonu Ata Imotzarenu, are you for us or for our enemies? Before the Malach identifies himself as the general of Hashem's armies. So what happens? So Yeshua is asking him, are you coming because of Talmud Torah, which is Torah Tziva Lonu, Moshe, or Letzarenu, are you coming because we missed the Korban, which is meant to protect us from our enemies?
Then he realized.
Yeah. Amalai, so he asks him, Al Ezimehen Basa, which one are you coming to criticize us for? Amalai Atabasi, he says, I came now. Which means, Rashi says, I came for the one that's Negea right now. It's already at night, it's too late for the Talmud, but right now you could be learning Torah. Tosfos says, Atta refers to learning Torah, because Va'atta kisvu lachem
asashir azos.
So that's
what difference does it make on which one the problem is, right?
Right, but the point is, which one is the more serious one? Like, that's the reason why we're bringing this in, is to show which one is more important, the Avodah or Talmud Torah. So he says, Atta Basi, I'm coming for Atta, for the Torah. Miyad, so right away, Vayolan Yoshua, the Pasuk says, Vayolan Yoshua, Valaylahu Besecha Emet, that Yeshua slept over that night in the valley. This is actually, Tosfos points out, this is actually a combination of parts of two different Pesukim. There's one Pasuk says, Vayolan Yoshua, and another one that mentions Besecha Emet. The Gemara does that sometimes, it'll weave together different words from different Pesukim to give a direction.
Which valley?
Amar Rav Yechanan, Melamed, Shalon, Ba'umka Shalalacha. This teaches us that Yeshua stayed overnight in the depths of Halacha. That it doesn't mean the valley, doesn't mean a valley in that area. It means a valley as in the depths of learning Halacha in a serious way. That he spent the rest of the night doing that. And for Amar of Shmuel Ba'onya, Godol Talmud Torah Yosem Akrava Smidin. We see from this story that Talmud Torah is more important even than bringing the Talmud. Shenema Ata Basi, because the Malach tells him, I came now, I came because of Ata, not because of the Talmud.
What do you mean? How do we know Ata means Torah?
That's what we said. Rashi says it's Ata because it's the thing that's Negea right now. The Talmud you missed, but the Torah you could still be making up. Tosfos says, because it says, Va'ata kisvu lachem asashir azos. There's a vort I saw, I think, from the Chofetz Chaim. The reason why Torah can be called Ata is because it's a constant thing. You always have a chiyuv to learn Torah. So at any moment, Ata, right now, is the time to learn. Anyway. So we see then that Torah is more important than the Avodah. What are you telling me? You wanted to make a Kavah Chomer before Avodah is more important, and yet you're Mevatel it from Megillah. The answer is Lakasha Hadarabim Vahadiyachid. One's talking about Talmud Torah Darabim, that's more important even than the Avodah. The other one is talking about Talmud Torah of a Yachid. A Yachid Talmud Torah is taken not as important as the Avodah, and therefore you're Mevatel it for Mikra Megillah. And even when we said about Rebbe's Yeshiva, okay, Rebbe's Yeshiva is Rabbim, it's many people learning together, but it's a Yachid in the sense it's not the whole Jewish people. We had a similar kind of thing before a few days ago at the end of Tainus about saying Halal B'Yachid or B'Tzibur, where Yachid doesn't just mean one individual davening in his house, it can even mean a whole minion because not the whole Jewish people together. So the same thing over here. The Gemara asked, "Do Yachid Kal? So you're telling me that the Talmud Torah of a Yachid is less important than the Avodah, or than Mikra Megillah rather?" V'atnan, but we learn in a Mishnah at the end of Moed Katan, Noshim b'Moed Ma'anos, women on Chalamoed, when there's a mess, when there's a Levaya going on, Ma'anos, they can make a Hesped. Ma'anos literally means they all answer together. It means that they all cry out, whatever it is they're saying, all together. So they're allowed to do that during Chalamoed. Avaloi Matapchos, but they're not allowed to beat. Rashi says to beat means like they beat their fists on their chest as a sign of mourning. Tosfos talks about that it can also mean like they slap their hands on their thighs or on their faces or whatever it was a sign of mourning. That's a more serious thing. You can't do that on Chol HaMoed.
Men cannot either.
Men usually it was women who did these things. That's why they're they. Yeah. Rabbi Shmuel, im hoyus smuchos lamita, if these women are near the mita, they're near the coffin, metapchos, then they are allowed to do metapchos even on Chol HaMoed. But, continues the Mishnah, b'rosh ha-chadashim b'chanak over Purim, on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah, on Purim, ma'anos and metapchos b'zeh over zeh, they're allowed to do ma'anos, they're allowed to all call out together, and they're allowed to do metapchos on both of them, on Rosh Chodesh and on Chanukah and on Purim, avaloi mekoninos, but they cannot do a kina. A kina is where one of them says something and all of them answer after her. That's more of a sign of mourning.
Why is it called a kina?
That's the Mishnah over there learns it from a pasuk. So we see that a kina is a responsive thing, as opposed to inui, which is everybody saying together. And so what do we get out of this? In other words, so far we get that when it comes to Chol HaMoed and when it comes to Chanukah and Purim, you're allowed to be ma'anos. On Chol HaMoed, we're saying you can't be metapchos. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you can in some cases. And on Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, you can. You just do mekoinen. You can't be mekoinenos. But va'omer Rav Bar Avuna, ein moed b'fnei Tamid Chacham. There is no Chol HaMoed when it's in the presence of a Tamid Chacham. Meaning, if it's the burial, if it's the levaya of a Tamid Chacham, then we don't consider it like it was Chol HaMoed. We consider it like a weekday. Go ahead, do ma'anos, do metapchos, do mekoinenos, or whatever, because the covet of a Tamid Chacham demands it.
Why necessarily
Nashim
is considered?
Because the Yuma usually in those days were the ones who did it. Kol Shekin Chanukah Purim. So how much more so Chanukah and Purim? We're saying that we set aside because of the covered of the Tamid Chacham. Now obviously we're talking about one Tamid Chacham, and yet we're saying that his covered by his Levaya overrides the Dinim of Purim.
In other words, a Yachid, to refer to the question of the Yachid, is less important.
Yeah. So we were trying to say that a Yachid is less important than Mikra Megillah, a Talmud Torah of the Yachid is less important than Mikra Megillah. Here we see that not. What's the point of the question? Tosfos says the point is that you're doing the Hesped over here even though you're being Mevatel from Mikra Megillah. You're supposed to be reading the Megillah on Purim. Instead, you're being involved with this Hesped and Ma'anis and the Tapchos and whatnot. So you see that the covered, you see that the Talmud Torah of a Yachid overrides the Megillah reading.
If he's a Talmud Chacham.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Can't you consider Yachid as a Rabbi, actually?
No.
Not a Yachid, a Talmud Chacham. Is considered
no. That's not going to be the answer. Other Mephoshim say the point of the question is that the Vilna Gaon, I think it is, has a long discussion about this in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Purim. That the point of the question is that we're saying that you can override the Simcha of Purim for the sake of the Kavod HaMes, and the Simcha of Purim and Mikra Megillah, they're all of peace. They all go together. The answer is. Covered Torah, Kamer. You're talking about the covered of Torah. That's different. Covered Torah, the Yachid, Chomer. The covered of the Torah of a Yachid, yes, is more serious. Talmud Torah, the Yachid, Kal. But the Talmud Torah of a Yachid is not as serious. Sure. So yes, when it comes to the covered of the Talmud Chacham, then yes, we allow that to override Mikra Megillah. We allow that to override the Simcha Purim. Why? One reason. I think the Sfasemis says is because when it comes to a Levaya of a Talmud Chacham, it's not just a one-time thing for his. You're recognizing all the Talmud Torah he did throughout his lifetime. So when you add all that up together, all the Talmud Torah that he did throughout his years, yes, that's more important than a one-time thing of Talmud Torah.
He corrected the Pitul Zman for him. How did he correct it for the people? Why wasn't he exactly rubbing the Talmud Torah?
Probably means that he discussed it with them. I mean, every person, maybe they're not on the level to be Umka Shalalacha. Maybe they're, you know, but...
He did share.
Amar Rava, pshitali, it's pashat to me as follows. If we start considering what's more important than what, and therefore what overrides what. Avoida or Mikra Megillah, when it comes to Avoida versus reading the Megillah, then there's no question Mikra Megillah Adif. Obviously reading the Megillah is more important. We know that. We know that from what Rabbi Yossi Bechanina said about that the Kohenim Levim Yisraelim break off from their Avoida to go hear Mikra Megillah. Talmud Torah, Mikra Megillah Adif. We know that if you have Talmud Torah versus reading the Megillah, then again, reading the Megillah is more important. Because we said that Beis Rebbe would break off from learning Torah to hear Megillah. Yeah. Next one. Talmud Torah Mes Mitzvah. If we have a question of priorities between learning Torah and burying a Mes Mitzvah, then also there's no question Mes Mitzvah Adif. There's no question that burying the Mes Mitzvah comes first. Midatanya, because we learn in a Braisa, Mevatlan Talmud Torah Loitzas Mes or Achnas Eskala. We're Mevatl Talmud Torah for the sake of burying a Mes and for the sake of Achnas Eskala. Actually, the Gemara discusses over there, the Gemara discusses in Ksubas over there, that there are some cases, even if it's not a mess mitzvah, if you need to have a certain number of people by the Labaya, so then it depends. You have for somebody who learned, you need 600,000 people. For somebody who taught, there's no shiur even then. So this mevatel Talmud Torah is not only for a mess mitzvah, but obviously if you can be mevatel even when you have many people by the Labaya and you just need more, Allah is kama v'kama, you can be mevatel for a mess mitzvah where there's nobody available to bury it. That's what we're going to get to now. Next, avoider or mes mitzvah. If you have a question of priorities between doing the avoider and the mes mikdash or burying a mes mitzvah, again, mes mitzvah adif. Why? We learn this from the word v'la'achosei. By a nazir, the Torah says by a nazir like this. The Torah says a nazir is not allowed to become tummy mes. Al nefesh meis layov, he's not allowed to become tummy by any mes. And then the Torah lists some examples. Now, if the Torah already said he can't be tummy mes, obviously it means his relatives as well. Why does it have to list these four relatives? So we learn something from each of the four of them. Rashi explains like this. From the fact that it says la'aviv, we learn that he cannot be nazir cannot become tameh if his father died, but he can become tameh to a mes mitzvah. From la'imai, we learn that even more than that, what if he is both nazir and a kohen, where he has a double kedusha? Nevertheless, he still can't bury his mother, but he can still bury a mes mitzvah. La'achiv, we learn that even on top of that, what if he's a kohen gadol and a nazir? Then he still goes and buries a mes mitzvah. And then v'la'achosei, D'tanya, v'la'achosei matam adloima, what is the last word v'la'achosei comes to teach us? Haresha ha'yaholach lishchet es pischa v'lom alasponoi. Suppose you have someone who's going to shecht his korban Pesach or to mal his son. Before we talk about, are we talking about the same person, the Kohen Gadol who's a Nazir who's also going to do one of these mitzvahs, or are we talking about it's one or the other? Are we talking about that he's going to do a bris in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach, or are we just talking about separate cases? Whatever it is, v'shama shemes lemes, and he heard that one of his relatives died, yachol yitama, you would think he should become tameh, amar to lo yitama. No, that's why the pasuk is saying he should not become tameh, even in that case. But yachol kashem she'enim etama la'achoyse kachenim etama lemes mitzvah, you would think then that just like he cannot be metame for his sister, for his sister, or for any of his other relatives. So he should not be metame for a mes mitzvah. Tamad lima v'la'achose. That's why the pasuk says his sister, which means la'achose who de'ena metame. That in these cases he cannot be metame for his sister because he's a nazir, because he's a kohen, because he's going to do one of these mitzvahs that are chayav kares, whatever it is exactly. Avam metame la mes mitzvah. So therefore we see from that if you have avoida versus mes mitzvah, you bury the mes mitzvah. No question about that. Now, the question becomes, Boyirava, Mikra Megillah, Mes Mitzvah, Hei Minayu Odif. What if you have to hear the Megillah, and you also have a Mes Mitzvah to bury? Which one comes first? Do we say Mikra Megillah Odif Mishum Pesumay Nisa? Or do a Mes Mitzvah Odif Mishum Kavod Abris? Or maybe the Mes Mitzvah is more important because of Kavod Abris. Because of COVID to people.
You're talking about you can't do both of them.
You can't do, right. We're talking about either that you have to do one and then the other, or we're talking about you'll do one and you end up missing the other.
Is it honorable to make a mikra knowing that there's a mes mitzvah?
That's the question. On the other hand, we're saying that there's a matter of persa minissa. Basa de boya ha de pashta, after Rava asked the question, he was able to answer it. That mes mitzvah adif, the mes mitzvah is the more important one. Do amamar, because a brisa says, Godo kvod abris shedoches loises hashavat Torah. The kvod abris is so important that it overrides a loises in the Torah. Rashi says, what are we talking about? The pasuk says about when you find a lost object, lois suchal leis alim, you can't ignore it, you can't pretend to not see it. But suppose you have a case where it's zaken ve'en alafi kvodo. Suppose you have, it's for example, something that you're a respectable talmid chacham, you would never carry around something like this in the street, even if it was your own, then you're allowed to ignore it if you see it in the street. You find, let's say, for example, a sack where a respectable person is not going to walk around on the street carrying a sack. Then you're not obligated to pick it up for somebody else. So we see that kavod abris, the kavod of a distinguished person, is docha loisaseh in the Torah, loisocha leisalim.
You were talking about mivatel and ase.
If you can be mivatel loisaseh, surely you can be mivatel and ase. Especially, it's an esed in Rabbanan. The other Mepharshim explain there's a different angle on it also when we say that Kavod Abrius is Dochas Lois Seshabat Torah. We had the Gemara had mentioned a few times. We had the concept that we in various cases we set aside different dinim d'rabbanan for the sake of Kavod Abrius. We talked about, for example, that therefore you're allowed to carry stones to use to wipe after you go to the bathroom. We had a case where if a person is wearing shatnez d'rabbanan in the street, we had back in Brachas, a person is wearing something with only shatnez d'rabbanan in the street, you don't have to rip it off them. Hashem can if it was shatnez d'raisa, you would have to. The loisa seshabat Torah then that we're talking about is the loisa, and loisa also in adavar. You're not allowed to ignore anything that the chachamim say. But here we're allowing us to override that loisa for the sake of kavod abrius. So the same thing over here, we can be docha the esa of mikra megillah for the sake of kavod abrius.
And we should.
That's what Rava is saying. That's what Rava is saying.
We probably don't care what kind of person he was. He could have been a Russian cop.
Doesn't matter. Well, you just eat it. Yeah. There's an interesting thing the Balaturim says that a remez to this is there's three places in Tanakh where it says the word v'nishma. You have one nasa v'nishma, v'nishma kolu b'voya l'kodesh, and in Megillas Esther v'nishma piska mamelach. Nasa v'nishma is referring to Talmud Torah. V'nishma kolu b'voya l'kodesh talking about the bells on the Kohen Gadol's Me'il, that's talking about the Avodah. And Vinishma Piska Mamelach is talking about Mikra Megillah, because the Pasuk in the Megillah. Those are the three things that Rava is discussing over here, that each of them a mes mitzvah overrides it. He says actually the Balaturim said, apparently the Balaturim's Girsa over here, where it wasn't Rava who asked and answered the question, but rather Rabbah, because he says that's also why the Pasuk continues over there. Vinishma Piskim Amalach Asher Yaseh B'chol Malchusei Ki Rabbah He, because it's Rabbah who came up with this concept.
So it's Rabbah, not
so it's Rabbah, according to his Girsa, apparently, yeah. I think let's stop over here and we'll take up the rest tomorrow. Hashem.
Yeah. Hey, what's tomorrow's schedule?
Yeah, tomorrow's schedule. So the Ma'ariv is called.